continuing about Justice Levin.
Okay, I was saying that in my view he is he's a first class lawyer, and technically, and above that, Chuck has a great respect and affection for the jurisprudence, the science of the law, and he's dedicated to it, and he is a very hard working man. He works at odd hours. He has a very poor concept of time, and but he is, he's dedicated, and he works very hard. I know he works very hard.
Let's turn to one of the cases, I think, where he had a big role, and you correct me if I'm wrong. Did he write Shavers, or did he make a great contribution to the no-fault insurance case?
I don't recall without looking it up whether he wrote the opinion that was adopted in Shavers or not. But I know he studied the no-fault question. a lot. And he worked very hard on it. And of course you understand Chuck and I do not agree altogether on that. And but boy, he worked on that. He worked very hard on that case. And whether he wrote the opinion or not, I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
But this would be somewhat of the kind of where there was a new concept that had to be thought out and analyzed and perhaps implemented in the sense of having been expressed in the law.
Mm-hmm.
He this was where his power much of it lay, right?
Yes, exactly so. He has a very good grasp on the concept of government. And he appreciates greatly the importance of the responsibilities, the differences in responsibilities of the three branches of government. And he respects that difference. And he's a voracious reader, and he reads everything he can read on these things, not only the minutes of the legislative bodies and all, but the opinions of the scholars that have addressed the issue. And before he makes up his mind, he is very well informed.
I happen to, in preparing for this sort of discussion, I happen to come across one of his opinions in a advisory opinion case. You know that category of decision that is the court is called upon to make, which
yes.
is a little out of the
yes,
the common run.
It's right.
There is no such thing in the federal jurisprudence,
mm-hmm.
and I can recall just by happen to spot this. Here's Justice Levin writing about some request from the governor or the legislature for an opinion in advance of the effective date of a law or a proposed law.
Mm-hmm.
And what I happened to spot was a long extract from Felix Frankfurter
mm-hmm.
that was written in a law journal or someplace like that back in 1922 or before he even reached. This was not in a United States Supreme Court pronouncement.
Mm-hmm.
This was a academic, a leading academic's analysis of this particular unusual judicial or jurisprudential animal.
Sure.
And Frankfurter did not have a very high opinion of the advisory opinion process, which calls for a judgment in a vacuum. Chuck felt that way pretty much, did he not?
Yes, although I think he was, I think he became comfortable with the Michigan constitutional provision that judges should do that.
Well, that's part of your duty as a justice of the Michigan Supreme Court.
Right, exactly.
Deal with these problems when they come to you, right?
Yes, yeah. But I think he had a, I think he largely shared that. And look, there are many lawyers who think it's not a wise policy or practice for a court to issue advisory opinions. And you can get very respectable authority on both sides of that question. And but I think Chuck is comfortable with it, as we all became comfortable with it. I must confess that in the beginning I was more inclined to think it inappropriate, but I don't have any problem with it.